Next item is a discussion of proposed ordinances for recommendation to county council.
All right, these gentlemen are the ordinances, just to go back. We had gone through the code and pointed out some areas that need correction. Went to council with those areas. Council instructed me to go back and start with the mundane ones, I'll call them, the more typographical or clerical ones. So I've started that. You all got a package emailed to you with a cover memo and the ordinances. I've got copies if anybody needs them. I will say it's not my intention to really get into a big discussion about any of them, because if I get the okay to send them to council and request that they be introduced, they'd come back to us for a public hearing. So that's more the time to have a real discussion on it. I'm just sort of want to go through these and just make sure everybody's in agreement that we want council to introduce them. That's all. So I'll just run through real quick what they are. The first one is an ordinance to delete the typical road sections for subdivisions from the county subdivision code. There's literally pictures of what a cross-section of a road is supposed to look like in the subdivision code. And it's outdated, and nobody's referring to it, but it's still in the code. And planning and zoning and county engineering want that deleted. So that's what that does. I mean, there's totally new standards that are in place. The second one is to add a definition of property owner. That one's important because whenever we get an amendment to a subdivision or a re-subdivision, there has to be 50%, I think, of the property owners, 51. Or 51, to consent to it. But we've always had conversations, does that mean 51% of the owners? So if you have a deed with 10 people on it, do you get 10 votes? You know, or if one person owns 10 lots, do they get, since they're a lot owner, do they get one vote or do they get 10 votes? You know, it's just one of those things that we just needed to clarify so that the question doesn't keep coming up every time one of these happens. There was or is one that clarifies the timing of a public hearing. This goes back historically, I don't know, probably to when planning and zoning started. They talked about hearings on preliminary plans to occur at the second regular meeting of the commission. Well, as we know, we've been having public hearings whenever we need to, so that just eliminates that kind of old requirement. One of them is to delete a typographical error. There's a phrase that's just stuck at the end of an existing code section. That requirement is already somewhere else in the code, so it just eliminates that mistake, basically, in the code. Then the next one is to amend the requirements for bonds and guarantees, performance guarantees, for developments in Sussex County. This is a requirement that's been in the code for a long time. You know, when we talk about all the time that the county requests bonds or performance guarantees from developers for the site work and everything else that needs to happen on a project. This actually does two things. One, it adds reference to amenities, because we had not been collecting bonds for amenities. Or we had been, but the code hadn't specifically spelled out that we need bonds to make sure that the amenities are being constructed. An example of that would potentially be Sea Chase, you know, where that clubhouse was never built, and you know, from when it was approved 4 or 5 years ago, but we don't have bonding to cover it. So that's one thing. It makes it mandatory, just so it's clear that they're required from the developers. So it adds amenities and clears up the requirements. However, on this one, County Council on Tuesday introduced an ordinance which added a new subsection D, which says that if you're a landowner developer, you know, who's developing your own property, you don't need to post a bond or performance guarantee unless or until you're going to sell lots or transfer or get building permits. So you go ahead at your own risk. You just can't pull a building permit or transfer a lot without a bond, or you get the work completed, one of the two things. And that makes some sense, because really the bonds are designed to protect third parties, you know, who'd come in and buy a lot or buy a unit or a house. You know, they want to make sure that this work's going to be done. So until you start selling houses or pulling building permits, the bonding really isn't all that relevant up to that point. So that hasn't been acted on yet by County Council. It'll actually have to come here to planning and zoning. If that gets acted on, I'll amend this one just to include that language for consistency.
There was some discussion. A couple of members didn't want it introduced, And Mr. Wilson said I was going to introduce it. And again, he said I was going to introduce it. And finally, Everett asked him if he was going to introduce it, and he said I did. So there was a question whether it was properly introduced or not by somebody from the public, but it was introduced Tuesday, so they had to stop discussion. So the discussion stopped. They're going to have a public hearing on it, yeah, whether or without a for discussion.
Right. So
it was introduced Tuesday. So that one will be advertised in the next month or so.
Okay.
Leave that one alone.
Yeah.
Had a developer that wanted to start his project, but I happened to post bond because of the difficulty of requiring the bond. And they were going to rate it so that it was, you couldn't get any building permits. And
right.
Said, no, you got to be limited that you can't sell any lots either, because otherwise they could sell all the lots and disappear. So that way, that's one of the requirements.
Right.
Can't sell lots, you can't get building permits.
Right. So, but yeah, and the only way you could do either is you get the work done. If you get the work done, who cares? You can start selling anything you want.
You can get 50% of the work done or 25% done, and then come in and get a bond for a lesser amount because you've already done some of the work. You only have to guarantee what needs to be finished to complete it. So it's something that we used to do 10, 20 years ago, and it worked.
Yeah.
It seemed to, anyway.
But if they set the money aside, it's the same as a performance bond.
They could post a cash bond.
They could post
which we've done.
They could do it incrementally, right?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it matches up. Yeah, right.
Borrow against it or...
Yeah, no. Right. It's one of those, I mean, we'll get to it eventually, but that, what was introduced, is one of those things where at first it kind of raised your eyebrows maybe a little bit, but then you stop and think, like I said, that requirement is designed to protect the public. And if you stop and think, well, the public's not got any interest in a development until lots are sold, it doesn't really matter. You don't really need it. So, the next one is the cluster ordinance. And as I pointed out, this has come up every once in a while. We haven't had a cluster subdivision in a while. But whenever we have on some of the bigger ones, there's been questions about how procedurally this works. And there was a cluster ordinance that it was amended, I guess, 2 or 3 times. But the amendments were introduced in one order, you know, let's say A, B, and C. They were acted on in a different order, say A, C, and then B. And so when those amendments were made, it didn't line up right, and it got adopted in such a way that if you're following it correctly, it's just difficult to track through how you would apply the ordinance to a subdivision application. And I'll give you the way it was supposed to work by county council is that there's 2 tracks for cluster subdivision. The first track is the original way. You had to come in and basically just show you had a superior design and a couple other things. And you could get your increased density and greater number of lots. The amendment was that you had to show that not only was a superior design, but you had to have a yield plan. You had to really specifically deal with environmental issues. You had to really specifically address 99.9C and some other things. And it was a lot more stringent process you had to go through. That was going to be the cluster ordinance. In other words, that was going to replace entirely the prior process. When it was acted upon by county council, the intent was, no, we want to create a 2-track process. You can still go the old route, which is easier, but you're going to be in the queue for 18 months or 2 years. Or you could go this new way and provide all this additional information and basically a yield plan, but you get expedited treatment. So you'd get your hearing within, say, 6 months or whatever. Of course, now that's all irrelevant because it's 2 months for anybody. But anyway, when those amendments came through, the 2 tracks weren't clear from the ordinance. Things overlapped as far as what the different requirements were. You couldn't tell what you had to do, basically. So this clears it up. My only thought after doing it and working on it is that I think I'm going to revise the format of it. By law, if we're doing amendments, you got to show deletions to the existing ordinance in brackets and any new stuff you're putting in there underlined to try to make this work so that you can follow it. You know, you got brackets and underlines all over the place. I think if...
Unless you bracket the whole thing.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Delete the whole thing and then underline the way it's supposed to be. So,
you know, that's what confused me, because if you look at the last couple pages, you've got bracket, bracket, bracket.
Well, because some of this... It's such a...
It's all bracketed.
The way it's outlined out, there's in the ordinance itself, there's brackets. So if you're deleting a bracket, you've got a bracket around brackets with a number. It's just a mess. So anyway, I'm going to clear that up, but I think that'll make things easier for everybody going forward.
So we should not introduce that one to council.
No, I'll do that one separate from this bundle. The next one is the same thing, bonding and guarantees of completion for residential plan communities. There had been basically a one-line requirement in the RPC section of the zoning code that says that the Planning and Zoning Commission may require or recommend to county council a contracted safeguards for completion. There's such a specific requirement in the subdivision code, and the county had been applying those requirements to RPCs, that what we've done is just basically taken the subdivision requirements and applied them now to RPCs, just so it's clear that we're treating them both the same way. This one will need to be amended too, depending on what council does on the one in the subdivision code.
Should we pull this one and just wait until a council does on the other one?
We might, yeah. Yeah.
It might make more sense.
Yeah, because that one was done before council wanted this new one. The next one is really, I think, a helpful one for the commission, the council, and the department. It's going round and round that for conditional uses, there's no definition of substantially underway. You know, so like a conditional use could expire. If it wasn't substantially underway, well, there was nothing that said what substantially underway meant. There is in the subdivision code, not in the conditional use part. So what we did is came up with a definition of that. Yeah, you know, and also came up with a definition of what it means for a conditional use to be abandoned, because it expires if it's abandoned for 2 years, but there was no definition of what abandonment meant, you know. So this clears it up. So a couple things. I'll just read the new definition. It says construction shall be deemed to be substantially underway if the right of way has been cleared, the roadways, internal streets, and/or parking areas have been rough graded. The drainage system and/or stormwater management facilities have been rough graded, and erosion and sediment control measures are in place and being actively maintained. You know, I didn't make that stuff up. That comes from the subdivision code, so again, it's consistent with how we treat subdivisions. Abandonment means that a subject parcel remains idle or unused, or that no construction activity is actively underway for a continuous period of 2 years, whether or not equipment or fixtures are removed. So that would mean, like, if you have a conditional use, say for a restaurant, just to pull something out, you know, if it's closed up and it's just sitting there and there's no use in it for 2 years, it would expire. That would be one example. The other would be if somebody, you know, does a whole bunch of site work just to preserve their conditional use, and it just lays dormant for 2 years and a month, say, then the conditional use would be abandoned at that point.
Bit of a problem now.
Yeah, right.
A couple
right.
of projects. This middle sentence that you had on that
mm-hmm.
was also important because it referenced the building, if there was a building being built.
Yeah.
The building had to be substantially started continue.
Right.
That one project I was thinking of that's been a thorn has been the Cedar Neck multifamily project that they went in and they graded and got dirt stockpiled, and that's all they've ever done.
Right.
Been sitting there now for three summers at least. Yeah.
And I mean, something like that, it's important to have some drop dead date, because if it just sits there for 5 or 6 years, I mean, you know, whatever the requirements are, you know, may change in that time period. Anyway, it just gives some closure on some of these.
Should we have to wait on this one too?
I don't think so.
For the substantially underway part.
I think that one's ready to go. Yep.
Morris, in that situation where, you know, you've had someone that might fall under the scope of the change, how does the property owner know that these rules have changed and now they might lose their conditional use?
Well, the difficulty in my example was that they came before the commission, and the commission at that time said they were substantially underway when we told them what they had done with photographs and all that, but they haven't done one thing since.
So they're aware.
So, yeah.
But, I mean, there may be other.
Three of them.
Oh, I know, but just that one project I'm thinking about was the father and son were in a company together that were going to develop this project. The father passed away. The mother and son were having difficulties, and I don't know what happened, so they stopped. And hadn't been able to sell it because of the market.
Yeah, and I think the way it would work, you know, the smoothest way would be that, you know, if the inspectors determined that something was abandoned, you know, they would send a letter saying, you know, that more than 2 years have lapsed, for example, since any work's been performed on this, and so under section whatever of the code, it's been abandoned. You know, that property owner then at that point would have the right to appeal it to the Board of Adjustment, just, you know, as an appeal of, you know,
the decision of a staff member.
Yeah, a decision of a staff member. So there is some due process there. And then they'd have to come in and show, well, yeah, I have done work in that 2 year period. So
it would be difficult to reach out to the conditional uses that have not been completed or with a notification letter of the change, or is that not?
When we do that, we're in the process, we're getting ready to start. We just went through all this time extension thing anyway. We've got to prepare letters that we can send to all the applicants to tell them what their dead end date is.
Right.
So that they're a record for us to track. Which we have all the dead end dates. I gave that to you last meeting. That we have something we can use. Just my drafting the letters for each one. Each one's got me a separate letter. Form letter with a different address, basically. But
I mean, you hate for a person to find out through penalty, you know, through that process of a rule change.
Well, the difficulty that one I mentioned was the fact that they did come before the commission and it did establish that they were substantially underway, but they haven't done anything. They stopped almost right after that or at that time. They didn't do anymore. It's a, you know, it's a shame, but it's the way it is. And there's another project that we had that was approved for multifamily use, but it was actually like four detached dwellings on the beach. They put in the driveway, the entrance, the sidewalk, I believe, the utilities were in, being the sewer pipes were taken up so they can connect at some time, and haven't done anything since. And again, it's been 3 or 4 years. Their approval was for those residential units. What they did was just the site work and the related activity. They haven't started first house. So we have to do it. And basically, they fell into the time extension, so they've got more time. Yes, they just did fall into it. So they're okay until 13 now.
Time flies.
Oh, yeah, but then that ordinance that Vince just read would tell them that they've got all that work done, but because it's residential units, they have to start one of those units at least to get it going, keep it going. But they could lose all that. They could.
And they could, you know, anybody that gets abandoned, it's not like they can't reapply for it, you know, also.
Oh, yeah, right. They can reapply.
So, the next one is just a clerical one. There's a table in the, the commercial highway corridor overlay zone. Just CR1 was left out of the table. It doesn't create any new setbacks. It just, for whatever reason, that wasn't included in the table when the CR1 district was created. That way, you know, anybody going to look at it will know what those setbacks are. And then the last one on the bunch is clarifying the validity of an RPC preliminary and final site plan. Again, this is, they've always been treated the same way as subdivisions with the 3 and 5 year periods. This just puts it in the code that they're treated that way. Now, one thing is that that'll establish that 3 and 5 year time period for those approvals, but the time extension ordinance that Lawrence just mentioned, it specifically referenced RPCs, you know, so we'll make this change, but they're still under the extensions. So in other words, they're not, you know, losing time or.
Well, if this would have only affect those that were applied for after this ordinance.
Yeah, right.
So if they got approval, they'd be approved for 3 years.
That's true.
Final approval for, it's like something.
So with your blessing, what I'd like to do is send a letter to council saying that, you know, we've worked on these, we've drafted them, we'd like them to be introduced, with the exception of the two dealing with the bonding requirements, because we'll wait on what council's going to do on those. And then hopefully they'll introduce them and we'll get some of these things cleaned up. So, you know, I'm just sort of looking for some direction to do that. I could probably get the cluster one done, because we're not going to get on county council's agenda probably for another 2 weeks, so I can do that one.
It's too late to get on next week.
Yeah.
But so, the commission can still authorize.
Yeah. I mean, are you all okay with that? With me sending that letter to council?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
This consensus is fine, I would think.
Yeah, that's all I need. Thank you, gentlemen. Thrilling stuff, I realize, but, you know.
Do you need a motion, or is it just
just a consensus. Is fine, yeah. Because it's got to come back anyhow.
Hey, you're not. Be a hearing on each one?
Yeah, there has to be.
Has to be a hearing on each one.
Yeah. I just didn't want to, you know.
Job security, guys.
And I don't want to send any of these up if nobody on the commission wanted them, you know, or some of them. So I wanted to make sure we brought them back to you all.
So what I could write would be a consensus to forward the 8 suggested ordinances for consideration by council.
Yep.
For introduction.
Yeah, for introduction. And I don't anticipate there being any problems. I know on that substantial construction or substantial underway that there's members of council that have been asking for that for a while, so that should, you know, go through without too much trouble, I would think. And then there's probably 2/3 again as many that we need to do, but some of those get into more substantive issues, so I'll start maybe working on those one at a time.
I was asked yesterday if there's a the commission could look at some of the things that were suggested in the comprehensive land use plan for ordinance.
I thought we had already done that, didn't
we? Well, no, they said they'd considered them by not acting on them.
Well, we went through
them.
Not
writing them. We wrote some, but they said, no, we considered them. We're not going to do them.
All right.
Now they want to talk about it again. And now it won't be long. We're getting ready to do another land use plan.
Yeah, but I think they extended. They worked that out, so it's 10 years now.
If you might want to read that, because it's been interpreted both two ways. One is that we can wait for 5 more years. The other is that you've got to get one approved before that time limit starts.
Yeah. Good clarification.
And what we have to do is amend. Every 5 years, you still look at it, but you can tweak it.
Yeah.
You don't have to re-adopt. You can just do amendments.
So the state only has to approve it every 10 years?
That's the way it appears. But you have to look at it each 5 years, I think, still.
But not the whole process.
Not the whole process.
Does the state still have to approve it, the tweaks?
Any changes you would make.
Yeah, they still have to approve it.
But we went through all those ordinances. We had a workshop where we went through all those.
Oh, yeah, we did, but I'm just saying, there were some suggestions made to council and some ordinances proposed, because Rick had ordinances on almost all of them.
Yeah.
And the one comment that we got back was, well, we considered them, and we're not going to act on them at this time. And that's where it stopped, basically, in general.
Yeah, to close that loop so you all know, it says in the code, it says you have to consider them. You know, you put in the comp plan, you know, sort of a list of ordinances that tie into the goals of the comp plan, and you need to consider them. You don't necessarily need to adopt all of them. So that's where the point comes that we considered them.
Been
yeah, exactly.
Or being adequately
addressed. And a lot of them were addressed and acted on.
Yeah, there was a couple adopted. There was quite a few discussed. They just didn't get through the public hearing process because they considered them and they weren't ready to put them on the floor, I guess.
So it's not, by any means, it's not like they were ignored.
They weren't ignored.
Yeah.
We did our due diligence because we considered them.
Right.
Considered not to vote on.
That's all I know.
All right, gentlemen. Anything else for go to the order?
I'd ask Marty. Have you heard any update on Vance?
Talked to him this morning.
Okay, good.
He said he's hoping to get back in Delaware next week, but I don't know that he went from intensive care to a step down.
Yeah, he went from serious to fair. I knew that. Yeah.
So even though his condition rating has improved, I mean from critical to fair, he's still in a step down type environment. And so the concern for him now is really infections of sorts, because he's pretty much immobile. So they're worried about pneumonia and things like that, because they turn in frequently and all that. And he seemed to be under a pretty good dose of medication too, so I'm sure he must be in a lot of it. But anyway, I talked to him because, you know, his farm hands and mine, we swap stuff and whatever, and just to make sure he was covered the bases. But this time of the year, you know, crops are in and pretty much stuff's laid by. So I talked to his main guy there. And so, you know, he's happy to be alive, I think, and the kids and the family were all around there too, so.
Good.
Stand adjourned. Peace.